The people were filled with expectation. This is how Luke describes the crowds who are gathered around John in the River Jordan. The people were filled with expectation. What were they expecting? What are you expecting? We're early January 2022. How are we looking out? How are we looking forward into the coming year? Maybe the coming 6 months, maybe this next month. I asked our junior high crew last week, what were they anticipating? And one of the answers they gave was that they're anticipating high school, especially for our eighth graders. They're gearing up because it's a mix of excitement and absolute terror of not knowing what's going to happen. They'll be leaving DLR, they'll be going into the high school, and they're going to go from the top of the pile to the very bottom of the pile. New cultures, new teachers, new ways of learning, and they will be in a different frame in the sports and different frame in their activities. And so they're looking forward to it, and they're terrified. I asked a high schooler who was about to graduate, I asked them at one point, what were they anticipating? And they told me they had this kind of beat up rusty car that it was lucky to get 10 miles, but they told me that they were looking forward to graduating because they could get in their car and they were going to drive it as far as they could possibly get that car to go. And when the car stopped and died, that's where they were going to live because they were ready to get out of this town. And some of that is because, well, they were up for an adventure, but some of it was also because they didn't fit in here. They had been told through various cues and social norms that they weren't part of this community, that they didn't belong here, so they wanted to go somewhere else. They wanted to find their life beyond this zip code. What are you expecting? What are you looking forward to this year? What are you anticipating? We are entering into potentially the third year of this pandemic, so many of us have gotten used to making our plans and then they just disintegrate in our hands like sand. Many of us have already had the arguments with our loved ones, with our neighbors in this community, sometimes even in this church, with our family and our people who are in our homes. We have struggled ourselves with health. Maybe we've struggled with our own economic reality. Maybe we've struggled to find a job. Maybe we're looking forward to getting a new job. Maybe we're hoping we're going to find that second job, that third job, so that we can pay our way and make our way in this world. What are you looking forward to? What are you expecting? What were the crowds expecting? Luke tells us they were filled with expectation. Luke tells us, it's not in our reading, but if you were to rewind, flip back a page and read all of chapter 3, Luke tells us that John must have had an incredible social media campaign because he's able to draw all these people out of the villages and out of their homes and out of their day jobs, out of the center of the city square, wherever they came from, their farms, their businesses. They left it all behind. And there is some romance, some excitement about leaving it all behind, even though the reality is they went right back. But there is sometimes within us this idea how great it would be to just leave it all behind and go try something new. And at the same time, we are attached to who we are. But they did it. They left everything. They came running out. They went through the wilderness. They went through this barren landscape, which would have been hazy with dust because there's not much going on out there besides the wild animals and the various other threats that would have been there along the way. But they braved all that, ran through all that, and they made it to the River Jordan because John had told them that if they got there, they would be baptized and receive forgiveness for their sins. John is standing along the River Jordan, and it's just a river. It's ordinary water. Now, I know some of us maybe have done the Bible study. Some of us have done a little bit of looking around, or some of us may know that environment. We know that it had some social, geopolitical importance. It had some religious importance, some cultural, some ethnic importance. But it's also just water. Like this is just ordinary water. I don't want to spoil it for you, but I got this water from the tap. This is Mount Morris water. So it came through our lines. It came through the plumbing of this 70-year-old building, came through the faucet right back there, and we put it right here. Now, sometimes we go fancy and we get the distilled water that comes in the jugs, but it's just water. What were they expecting to happen with water? John himself even tells us that it's ordinary water. He says in our reading that he doesn't have the kind of power to transform this water, to make this experience a life-giving experience. So what were the people expecting? What are we expecting when we come to this water? Somehow he got them all the way out there. Somehow the Holy Spirit got us here. this morning to stand at this river's edge. So the crowds ask him, well, what do we do? Because John and the crowds, once the crowds get out there, John's also a bit of a prophet. So he kind of gets into a back and forth with them, asks them, well, why are you here? Are you doing this for yourself? Are you doing this to somehow better yourself or do this for your own individual lives? And so they respond, well, what do we do? And John gives, and again, this isn't in our reading, but it's right before our reading. It's what helps us envision why they might be full of expectation. They ask, what do we do, three times. And John, three times, responds to their question with ordinary, boring answers. What do we do? The first time, John says, well, if you got too many coats, give your coats away. You know, if you got a bunch of extra coats hanging in your closets or in that Rubbermaid up in the upper room that we only look at once in a while to see if they're still there, give away our coats. Because there's people in this community right down the street from here right now who are holding on to rags, and they can feel that 30-mile-an-hour wind that's blowing out of the north and making everything cold and freezing the ice even after it thaws. Some of our neighbors are struggling with heat, struggling with shelter, struggling with food, and others of us may have enough. John is casting out this vision of how the kingdom of God is called to feed and nourish and support and love and surround all. What do we do? John gives another answer that's very ordinary. He says, well, if you're a tax collector, and I know we all work for the IRS, we're all CPAs, I know. But he says, if you're a tax collector, stop asking for more than what you're owed. But the vision that he's trying to cast out for us is to help us to remember that there are people within our midst who are struggling with loans, who are struggling with debt, who are struggling with one, two, three jobs, and have to make choices every month between rent and medical care and food and clothes. We've had families who have had to choose between their job or staying home because their kids are unable to go to school. And some folks have not been given that choice. When their kid comes home from school, they lose their jobs. What do we do? John answers a third time. He says, well, if you're a soldier, and again, I know we're all veterans here. But he says, if you're a soldier, stop using your power against those who have no power. John is casting a vision, the kingdom of God is a place where God's people have power. And you, my friends, you have power like a soldier. We may not envision it that particular way. We may not see ourselves as having a whole lot of power, but we, every one of us, because we've been washed in these ordinary waters, the Holy Spirit has been poured into us, we have power. We have social power. We have influence in our families. People listen to our voice. People in this congregation hear what we have to hear. We have the ability, the power to advocate. We can speak a word of justice. We can speak a word of equity. We can speak on behalf of those in this community who do not fit in, who have been told that they do not belong, whose lives are worth less than others, who want to get in a car and drive as far away from here as possible, because they do not feel like their own home is their home. John is speaking of ordinary things, but he's speaking that through these ordinary things, God will be at work. And John tells us in our reading that this ordinary power will be transformed through Christ, who will get into this water. This water that you and I come rushing from our homes to stand alongside, Jesus gets into this water because Jesus brings his life to ours. He binds us to his life. He cleans up the mess that we create. And he cleans up the mess that we dwell in and our neighbors struggle through. Jesus brings forth a new kingdom. There is a new hope, a new life rising up out of these waters, and it is being poured across our lives. It's being poured across our community. God is doing this profound work of using these ordinary things, water, our lives, our daily existence. Through these, God is at work because Jesus has bound us with the Holy Spirit to his life, so that where he goes, we go, and where we go, he is in our lives and in our midst, showing us how we can speak, how we can give, how we can love, and how we can reflect this kingdom breaking into the world. It is a new life coming out of these waters. And there's nothing terribly special about this water. There's nothing terribly special about the River Jordan. But when Jesus gets in and gets in with us, he brings forth new life. And Jesus does ordinary work through us. He makes you a child of God. He grants you forgiveness. He grants you God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion. And he sends us out to share this good news, to flood our communities, flood this church, flood our homes, flood our schools, flood our lives with God's hope and God's grace. What are we expecting this year? What are we expecting that God will do through us? What are we anticipating the Holy Spirit will speak through us? What are we hoping God will do with us? The Holy Spirit gives us a holy imagination that when we step from these waters, we can imagine a new kingdom, a new life, a new community formed through Christ. Amen.